I have this very distinct memory that I don't think I'll ever lose, and it's about my mom. Growing up as a kid, I was a dirty, you know, like you just get in the dirt, you're in the mud all the time. And then, of course, you would sometimes not be super presentable, especially when it came to maybe a dinner or church or stuff like that. And I will, not only can I see it and feel it, but sadly enough, I can also smell it. Where my mom would see some smudge on my face, and what do? And then just like wipe it off. Now, COVID, thankfully, we have stopped that practice. That's disgusting. Moms, don't do that to your kids. They will be scarred for life. We have a phobia when it comes to like spit and saliva, which is why today's sermon's going to be interesting, because Jesus is going to get some holy spit on somebody, and I think you're going to be listening to it, and you'll be like, this is gross and disgusting. And so I'm really glad that tickled your funny bone there, Anna. That was, the quote of the day, holy spit. All right. So today we're going to be talking, if you have a heading on yours, mine is Jesus heals a man born blind. Fun facts. First fun fact, the number one healing miracle that Jesus performed that we have recorded is the healing of blind people. And so this is something that the Messiah would have to do. And then, I did research on this a long time ago, so this nugget is stuck in my head, but I can't find the resource for it. I did a little bit of looking this week, but again, couldn't find something. But what I had read was that there were a couple of miracles that only the Messiah could perform. So if the Messiah showed up and started doing certain miracles, you could be assured that's the Messiah. And one of those was healing someone who was blind from birth. Because again, you can't fake that one, right? That's not something that you're like, oh, I can't see, and oh, look at me, I can see now. Also casting out a demon that causes the person to be unable to talk. That would be another one of these miracles that would be, in their mind, very difficult to do. And so the Messiah, if he showed up and healed a person born blind, this would be the marker. So Jesus is walking along down the road, and I'll let you have one guess and one guess only. What day of the week is it when this miracle takes place? It's going to be the Sabbath. Once again, Jesus is an instigator, right? Yeah, he's pushing the buttons of so many of these people. But again, it's the Messiah reminds us that the Sabbath wasn't made so that there was these rules and regulations and made us feel bad or inferior if we broke some stuff. No, the Sabbath was made for man to rest and to relax and enjoy and celebrate what God has done. And when we put a bunch of rules over top of it, then we have some problems. So Jesus is going to meet this guy. We don't know his name. He is one of my favorite biblical characters, though. You will see, especially when we get into later things, this dude is hilarious. And I absolutely love him, and I wish I was fast as him on some things. So, chapter 9, verse 1. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? It's typical what we do. If you have something bad happen to you, the first thing you're going to try to find is who is responsible for it. And if I'm not the responsible party, how do I make sure and shift as much blame as possible onto the other person? If I am responsible, still how much can I take of the responsibility and still shift it to someone else? And I don't know why we engage in these mental gymnastics, these theological theories about who sinned and what caused this, because Jesus is going to come along and absolutely destroy that. But this is helpful for you, because you may say to yourself, I don't like where I'm at. I don't like what's going on with me. I don't like my situation in life. And you may be saying, is it something I'm doing? Or is it something that someone else is doing to me? And we often forget that God takes every situation in our life and somehow promises that it will be turned to be something good for the kingdom of God. Now again, you may not like it, right? I'm pretty certain that this person born blind was not happy with their situation. And again, this is all before anything was ADA compliant, right? There was no Braille. If you were blind, you relied completely on the kindness of strangers. They would bring you to places. They would have you sit down. You would have something to collect money so that you could be taken care of. But you had no idea who's walking by or when they're walking by. You have no idea what your surroundings are. You have no cane. You are just simply struggling all through life. So for those that have blindness, you know, nowadays it's slightly better. I'm not saying it's perfect, but it's definitely better than this guy. And we wonder, since birth, like, what did his parents think? We're going to meet his parents, I think his mom, in a little bit. And we're going to find out how they're struggling with this stuff, because I'm sure they asked the question, why is my kid blind? This is not fun. I don't like this. Did I do something wrong? Did I sin? Did his father sin? Maybe something happened with this kid and he sinned even at birth, and because he sinned, he's receiving the punishment of God. Little do we know that many a times when we go through suffering, it is to reveal a greater work of God that we don't understand at the time. Again, probably the best example is a guy by the name of Job. We're going to talk about him actually this Wednesday. It all ties in. In fact, the title of the sermon on Wednesday is Flying Blind, and it's all about someone who had a stroke while flying an airplane and then had to fly the airplane blind. So sometimes bad stuff happens, and we immediately go to blaming as opposed to saying, what can I learn? What is God doing in my life? And how can I bring glory to God even though I don't like my situation? So he's sitting there. It is Saturday. We'll get this a little bit later on. And so they ask the question of Jesus, who sinned, the man or his parents? Now, I will say I finally now have one tick on the side of Jesus answering a question, not with another question. So this is pretty important. Jesus actually straight up answers the question. So I know we've hypothesized, does he always do it? Well, we know at least one part now that he does it. He says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am the world, I am the light of the world. So he's making sure that he understands. And he's going to go into a lot of teaching about spiritual blindness, but that will be in 2 weeks that we cover that material. So this, we're just going to be covering the story. So having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Is anyone grossed out? Yeah, that's kind of, no? No? Holy spit. Right? Like, I was actually thinking of like getting some dirt and like spitting on it and then mixing it and seeing if anyone would be willing to have me smear it on your eyes. And you would do it? Oh, Irene. Wow, I'm impressed. Who here would not do it? Raise your hand. Yeah, that'd be like literally everybody else. Because spit is disgusting and gross, and Jesus, and it is interesting, someone has pointed out there's only two times that Jesus kind of plays in the dirt, right? And that's when he wrote in the ground just a couple weeks ago with the woman caught in adultery, and now here, making mud out of spit. Why? Didn't have any water? Like, yeah, I'm totally fine. Like, I would have been like, Jesus would, like, you're actually watching Jesus spit. Like, I know that's not, can we get a drawing of that, Joshua? Can we get a drawing of like Jesus, like stuff coming out of his mouth? Like, we don't usually have that as an image in our brain of Jesus spitting. Why didn't he just use water? How about this? Why didn't he just heal him? Could he have just said, you can now see? Would that have worked? Yeah. So it's interesting because it happens in a bunch of other ways too. He does it with the guy who is, he also made mud a couple other times. He did it with someone who was deaf, and he puts his fingers in the person's ear. Right? Like, are you already getting grossed out? But that's not the worst one. The worst one was the guy who could not speak and needed his tongue to be healed. So Jesus spits. Oh, there you'll draw the line. Okay, good. I'm glad you have some line there. Yeah, he spits. And then he puts it on the guy's tongue. Are there other times when he just heals people and just by speaking a word? Does he sometimes heal people not even by saying a word? Yeah. What we find out with this, and this is, again, what we were chatting about earlier, God has these ways of doing things, and sometimes we want to try to create some level of a formula, like do X, Y, and Z, and God will then heal said affliction. And yet, throughout Scripture, he does things in different ways constantly. And that's very super helpful for us because we understand God does what he wants whenever he wants. And it really is somewhat immaterial. He wants us still to ask, but he doesn't want us to become formulaic in this. He wants us to just simply ask. So that's what we should do. We should be asking Lord to heal us in whatever way we need it. And again, we always think about the big stuff. Blindness, casting out of a demon, someone near death, someone dead. But I wonder how many times Jesus healed in what we would consider small ways. I think he probably did. And it's great that he does it in so many different and various ways. Don't put God in a box, but that I think sometimes we then say, well, then I don't know what to do or how to do it, so I just won't ask. No, that would be even worse. Still ask. Super important. So he's made the holy spit mud. Made some mud with the saliva and put it on the man's eyes. And then he says, go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. Wait, so is Jesus' power somehow unable to heal the man right then and there? No. And do you remember there was another time when he was healing a blind person, right? And he puts the mud on his eyes, and then Jesus says, what do you see? And he says, I don't know, I see a bunch, like, I think they're trees or something walking around, right? He had no idea what, like, they were. And then Jesus does it a second time because, again, Jesus' power is limited. Like, I'll move out so the lightning doesn't strike me. Jesus says and does whatever he wants whenever he wants. It wasn't that Jesus was limited. It wasn't Jesus like, oh, wow, huh, that didn't work. Maybe I'll try harder and maybe it'll work. Or maybe I'll pray harder. Or maybe I'll dance around a little bit. Or maybe I'll whip myself up in a frenzy. No, Jesus shows over and over and over again that he does things in various ways. And that's the same for us. I think that specific miracle is sometimes helpful because we ask for prayer and sometimes God doesn't give a full and complete healing, but only a partial healing. Right? Paul prayed for whatever the thorn in his flesh to be removed, and it wasn't. It was enough so that he could still minister and work in the gospel, but that was always there as a reminder of the power of God in his life. So prayer and healing, it's important to remember how Jesus does all these things. So he tells him to go wash in the pool. I actually think I have a reason why. Is because if he healed him right there, he would see Jesus right away. And I think Jesus is setting some stuff up. He wants to remain a little bit mysterious, so to speak, like, who is this guy? We know from later on, somewhere in this discussion, Jesus or the disciples share his name. So this guy knows his name, but he's like, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Do you have a little note then on what is the pool of Siloam? It's a pool. What does it mean? The scent. It's scent. Not like scent, like smell, but scent like go. So Jesus is also the sent one, and the disciples are also apostles who are the sent ones. And so the sent one sent the one to the scent pool. Wow. So he sent him to the pool of Siloam. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Now again, I wish we could get a little bit more. I really like the kind of the emotional side of what this. Like, imagine if you had not been seeing for your entire life, and now all of a sudden you, some guy puts weird junk on your eyes. Like, go to the pool of Siloam. Of course, did he know where the pool of Siloam was at? No. Like, I don't know, Jesus, which way do I go? Go that way. Well, that's not very helpful. Somehow, someone had to take him to the pool. He washed, and after he washed, he opened his eyes and could see. I mean, what would that be like? Yeah, like, it's really hard to imagine, because none of us have ever experienced it. Now, I think maybe there's times that we've experienced temporary blindness for some reason, or maybe we've experienced temporary deafness for some reason, but to be born blind and then be healed, absolutely amazing. And again, I wondered about this guy. Who did he blame? After becoming old or older, I mean, he's labeled as a man. So, and we know he's of age, meaning he's old. His mom talks about that later on. So he's someone who has suffered his whole life. That's pretty sad. I'm sure he was wondering, God, why'd you do this? Why am I like this? Why do I have this problem? Why does everyone else seem to have it made, but I don't? And now, he can see. Incredible. So, somehow or other, again, Jesus isn't there. And so, his neighbors, verse 8, his neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him, right? Like, if you saw someone who was blind since birth and then they can now see, the first thing you'd be thinking is like, does he have a twin? Because this clearly is not something that normally happens. I mean, is it a normal activity for blind people to start seeing? No, it's not. And so for his neighbors and his friends to see it, this would be very shocking. And so some are like, is that Frank? Frank? Is that you? That's not Frank. Why is that Frank? Because he can see. See, he's looking right at us. This is weird. Frank, how you doing? That's not Frank. It's not Frank? It's not Frank. It's Frank. I think it's Frank. Thankfully, Frank speaks. What does Frank say? But he himself insisted, I am the man. I'm the man. Yeah. You want to know I don't know what to do with this, so I just give it to you because I haven't figured out what to wrestle, like what this means. Do you want to know what he actually says in the original Greek? Sure. Yeah. See, thank you, Diane. Diane's like, I'm riveted. Thank you, please. And you know I was going to tell you anyway, so you might as well get it over with. He says, ego a me. Ego a me. No, so this is... If you remember, all throughout John is making these statements of I am. He's using the personal name of God. So I think this also helps us to understand why the Pharisees are getting really upset, because he just said, ego a me. So NIV translated it as I am the man, or I am him, or really it should just be I am. Again, I don't know what to do with that, but I just throw that out because, you know, you got to struggle with it as well. How then were your eyes open? They demanded. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it in my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, so I went and washed, and then I could see. Well, where is this man? They asked him. And I was, this just happened. Like, I don't even know what he looks like, right? Oh, wait, there he is. He's the glowing guy back over there, right? Because Jesus glows. He doesn't glow. So they're asking him all these questions, and sadly he has no idea what to answer. But this is what I love about this guy. He has a very simple faith, and I think it's a faith that it challenges us. When God says to do something, we often ask the question, well, why do you want me to do that? Well, how about this? Just do it. There was another guy, Old Testament, that it's always fascinating to hear his story. This guy by the name of Naaman, and he was this official, and he had leprosy, and he was told to go and wash in a river. And then when you do the studies on it, it's literally the dirtiest river known to mankind. Like, it is disgusting and gross. He's like, wait. You want me to go wash in, like, really nasty water, and that's going to make me clean? Yeah. Wait. You want to put dirt in my eyes? So I can see? Like, how many of you, if I put dirt in your eyes, that would help you see better? You'd be like, no, I can't. Like, as David said, this is some backward stuff that's going, because that's what God often does. He's saying, I'm going to give you some instructions. Just simply follow it. You may not understand. You may not know why, but there's going to be reasons to this. I need to show my glory and have you healed. And I love this guy. His faith is not developed. Remember, as a blind person, which part of the temple could he enter? None of them. He had to sit outside the temple area, because God had given an instruction in the Old Testament that if you were blind, deaf, maimed, defective in any way, you were not allowed inside the temple. So this guy, has he heard much about God? No, probably not. All he knows is whatever his family has said, or whatever his friends have said, or whatever people passing by said. Does this guy probably even have somewhat of an education? No, he is probably super uneducated, yet he becomes the most powerful witness to God that we often see in the book of John. What he says and does and how he says it is just brilliant. Josh, do you have a question? No, I didn't set that up, but I'm very proud of my son. So for those of you who are listening online, my son, with whom I am well pleased, said, so does that mean he has blind faith? And the answer is yes, he did have blind faith. Sometimes I think that's what we need more of, right? It's a little bit more blind faith. Like, I'm just going to trust. Like, this is what you said, so I'm going to do this. And again, we want to try to blame something else. Well, I don't want to do that. Why? Because it's gross. It's dumb. People will make fun of me. I don't want to share my faith with that person. I don't want to follow God's commands. I don't want to go to church. The guy there talks too long. We have all these excuses that we bring up, but God says, just follow what I say and watch what happens. Too many of us, and myself included, are always trying to figure God out. Newsflash, you can't. Stop blaming everything else out there and simply say, what is God going to do in this situation?
And start doing it.
Yeah. So this is very interesting. So I love the heading in this one after verse 12. The Pharisees investigate the healing, because, right, someone was healed. Like, this is exciting. Right? Not to the Pharisees. They're like, wait, someone was healed on the Sabbath? Well, that's not right. I love this. So the Pharisees, they brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. And here we know, now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Because that was part of the rules. You couldn't make mud. You couldn't work. If you made mud, you might have made pottery. If you made pottery, you might have cooked. If you might have cooked, you might have started a fire. If you started a fire, you're going to be working. So you can't be, Jesus can't be making mud. That is illegal. But wait, what about the blind guy who can now see? Then this is what I feel really bad. So they bring blind guy who can now see, and they bring him to the Pharisees. So now this is this guy's first encounter with religious people. Oh, man, I feel so bad for him. So they asked him. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. Again, you are a blind guy who can now see, and the first encounter with religiosity are a bunch of angry Pharisees. Like, you might think to yourself, can I go back to being blind? I don't want to see this garbage. These people are just angry all the time. But it's funny, some of the stuff that he says, he is not polished, he is not educated, yet he has the perfect things to say. I love this. Verse 16, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. He just healed a blind person from birth, and you're worried that the guy made mud on the Sabbath. Your priorities are all out of whack. But others asked, how can a sinner do such miraculous signs? So they were divided. And I think this is where we know that some of the Pharisees, we do believe, followed Jesus. We do believe Nicodemus, but we know Nicodemus became a follower of Jesus. And so they're struggling with this because they're like, here's a rule. He broke the rule, but he's healing. How can this be? So verse 17, finally they turned again to the blind guy. They're debating and arguing, and the blind guy's just standing there like, huh, this is interesting. So they say, what have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he is a prophet. And the Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. So they're like, you know what? We've seen these fake healing services, and we know that, like, yeah, there's a person in a wheelchair, and all of a sudden they're like, you're healed, and they're standing up, and we're like, we know that's a bunch of fake garbage, so let's find the dude's parents, because clearly this is not the same guy, or maybe he's been faking it for many years, like, you know, maybe he turned into a teenager and then was like, oh, I'm blind, I can't see, and he's been faking it forever. Let's ask the parents, let's bring them in. So they brought the parents in to investigate the miracle. Verse 19, is this your son? They asked. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? So they're asking you, now if you're a parent, you'd be like, I don't know, some dude spit on the ground, and I don't know how much they even know at this point, but what we do know is this, we'll find it later on, the mom is terrified of the Pharisees. She's worried about getting kicked out. As it is, could you imagine being a mom of someone who was born blind? Again, what's the stigma? Everyone's looking at you. What did you do wrong? How did you sin so that your kid was born blind? So she's been facing scrutiny all her life. And I bet they, you know, probably said some things to her, right? Do we kind of do that still today? You know, you find out a kid has Down syndrome or has autism or has a deformity of some sort, and what's the first thing we think? What did the mom do? Did the mom not take her vitamins? Did she smoke? Did she do drugs? How did this happen? We immediately look for the blaming. So this mom has probably received this her whole life. Once she had that kid, everyone's like, you're the sinner. Something's wrong with you. And she is terrified even to this day. Now, that's tough because what is also in her heart? She's probably rejoicing. Like, wouldn't you? My son, who is blind, now can see. And they're like, are you sure he was blind since birth? And she's like, yes. I verify this is him. But we don't know. He could be, well, he's of age, so he's older than 12. We know that much, but probably older, we would think. That's what it seems like. But yeah, it's great. So as they talk to him, verse 20, we know he is our son, the parents answered. So dad's there too. And we know he was born blind, but now he can. But how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself. So, and again, we think like maybe they're doing this because like, well, I don't know. Why don't you talk to him? How did it happen? I wasn't there. But the next verse talks about how they were terrified. Verse 22, his parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, he is of age, ask him. Now, I think this is kind of funny because this guy that's born blind, he's just acknowledged Jesus is a prophet. He's somebody because I couldn't see and now I see. That's got to count for something. And I wonder if they threatened him. Look, hey, you keep going down this line of reasoning, you're not going to be allowed in the temple. He hadn't been allowed in the temple his whole life. Like, well, okay, is it pretty in there? I don't know. Okay, cool. Have your temple. Yay. Right? The parents were still a little freaked out, like we don't know. So they're trying to play it a little bit cooler. But again, sometimes we do that too. If God does a miracle in your life or someone else's life, are we quick to give credit and glory to God and say he's done miraculous things, or are we worried people are going to look at us and think we're nutballs? Often it's the latter. Now, safe here in church, like if you came up to me and said, hey, Pastor Manning, so-and-so was sick and we prayed for him and they're better now, like here in the church, we're a little bit better about, yay, rejoice, this is wonderful, God does wonderful things. I've heard tons of miracles, tons of them. Some of you, you come and talk to me privately, I love it. I love hearing what God is doing. But sometimes we're a little bit hesitant to share that with outsiders because we don't want to have them think we're crazy. They don't want to be ostracized. So this is what's happening with them. All right, so I love this. So verse 24, a second time they summoned the man who'd been blind. They're like, bring Frank back. Frank, we got a few questions. Of course, Frank's like, hey, can I like go look at the trees or like look at the mountains? Or like, wait, there's bugs? Is that what's been crawling on me? That looks, that's crazy. That's, wait, that's the sky? This is, that is, what is that? They're like, that's a color, blue. Color? What is color? Like, imagine how different this guy's life, going from not being able to see anything to be able to seeing everything. And they're like, hey, bring him back. Man, if I were Frank, I'd be like, no, like, leave me alone. I can see now, and I can see you people are crazy. He doesn't say that because he's a nice guy, at least what we can tell. So, second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God, they said. Which, do you have a text note on give glory to God? We charge you with a solemn oath. So, hand on the Torah. Swear to Yahweh that whoever healed you is a sinner because he did it on the Sabbath. Like, Frank, speak up. You know the guy who healed you is a sinner. His reply is great. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Is that just the most beautiful testimony you've ever heard? It's so simple. Yeah. We often try to make it complicated. You know, I, a poor, miserable sinner, have been forgiven by Jesus Christ because of his death and his resurrection, and my sins have been washed, and I am clean, and so I follow after him, but I don't do things for him, for my salvation, because of my sin. And we put all of this stuff on it. Sometimes it's just simple to say, look, you know what I know about Jesus? I was blind, but now I see. I was deaf, but now I hear. I was steeped in sin, and no, I'm no longer steeped in sin. I was filled with shame, and now I'm filled with joy. I've had problems in the past, and now he's released me from that, and he allows me to be free in the future. Like, don't complicate it. It's okay to just say, I don't know much, but this I do know, Jesus healed me. I love it. So they don't like the answer. So they asked him, what did he do to you? Like, how did he open your eyes? Right? Like, it's funny because they're like, You said he spit, got mud, and washed at the pool. But, like, something else happened, right? What did he do? Like, let's step-by-step this. Because what are they really doing? They're building a case against Jesus for healing on the Sabbath and making mud on the Sabbath. And so they're trying to do it. And I love his response. He answered, I've told you already. And you did not listen? Oh, Why do you want to hear it again? Oh, do you want to become his disciples too? I love this guy. He's totally like, look, I told you. Do you want me to tell the story again of what God has done in my life? You're trying to become his disciples too? Oh, that's so wonderful. And of course, they're just seething. And again, we do wonder, was it tongue in cheek? Was he just poking fun at him? Or was he just clearly clueless? It's like, look, I'm just going to tell you about Jesus. Like, this is what Jesus did. He healed me. I was blind. Now I see. Spit, mud. It was gross. Pool of Siloam. I could see. Verse 28. Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. How dare you? How dare you follow Jesus? And this, again, one of our challenges that we have in this world is being labeled as a disciple of Jesus. They're trying to say it as an insult, and it's really funny because some of the insults that they give are actually true theological statements. Is this guy now a disciple of Jesus? Yeah, because I think that he's going to be like, where is he? I want to follow him. I want to listen to him. Like, I don't know. Like, how could this have happened? I have no idea. All I know is that he's healed me. Is he now asking the question, why was I blind in the first place? Yeah. No, I don't think he's asking that question anymore. I don't think, like, you now see. You've now been healed. You've been set free. So sometimes, again, we talk more about our past and what has plagued us as opposed to the present of what Jesus has said about you. He set you free. You are Jesus' disciple. But they're saying it insulting. You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. Remember the talk yesterday, like, where did you come from? And he's like, it came from above. Like, what does that mean? It's like, from the Father. We don't understand. Well, you can't understand because you're not from above. You're from below. And he ties them up in these theological knots. Again, the man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes? We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens only to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Like, he's just, it's logical. Jesus did this. The Messiah did this. God in the flesh did this. I don't know anything else. All I know is that God did this. To this, they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. And isn't that the most true theological statement we've heard? Right? It's one of our tenets of our faith is that we were all born into sin. We were steeped in sin at birth. It doesn't mean that that causes our afflictions in life, but we are steeped in sin at birth, and we all need Jesus. And he's going to talk about this more, about being blind and then being able to see, and he ties it into being spiritual, the spiritual blindness. And then I love this. To this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Praise God. They threw him out of their religious club, which he never belonged to anyway, and is now a follower of Jesus Christ. So what do we take from this? Well, we take a couple of things. First of all, if you are going through some challenges in life, it's natural to wonder why this is happening. We always do that. I got a speeding ticket and now have to pay $245. Well, who's to blame? The cops, they're always after me. Why aren't they going and arresting real criminals? Newsflash, it's you sped. So we often ask these questions. Well, why am I so angry? You have red hair. I mean, that's just the reason why. Why is my life so miserable? Because your parents made it miserable. We do these things where we blame, and this is where we maybe need to stop and say, yeah, I've got Okay. Quick poll here. Who in this church has had problems in the past? Okay. So if you are saying, I've got problems and no one else does, no, we all have got problems. Some of us hide it really well. Some of us are like, we want to try to shift the blame off of us. We want to find someone to point to. You know what? How about this? We are just sinners. We are all in the same boat. We are all in need of a gracious and forgiving God. And I don't know why God put you that way or made you that way or fashioned your life so you grew up in that family or this family. Or I don't know why you have this defect or this problem in life. I don't know. But how about this? Maybe you're going to be an amazing testimony for what God does. And maybe he'll heal you. Maybe he won't. But maybe God is going to use you. So stop trying to shift that blame. And then again, follow Jesus. He's going to give you some weird instructions in life involving mud and spit and washing in a pool. And he's going to say, just trust me. I've done this because I love you and I care for you. And then let your testimony be heard to others. Again, it's not complicated. Just simply talk about what has Jesus done in your life. I was angry and now I'm less angry. I was spiteful, but now I'm less spiteful. I was once hardened to the glories of God, and now my heart is opened up and I'm hearing and learning things for the first time. I used to hate the Bible, now I love the Bible. I used to hate worship, now I love worship. I used to not go to church, now I go to church. It's, again, it's not complicated. What is God doing in your life? And then just sharing that simply with others. Because when you do, the glory of God is revealed through you to this world. Let's pray.